First, I want to thank my good friends Danielle and Avi Aronovitz for opening up the home once again. We're not strangers here, and Torah should never be a stranger in any of our homes. And you know that it's a wonderful investment. Anytime the home is opened up for Yiddishkeit, for more learning, it only brings brachas. So thank you again, Danielle. We appreciate it. The learning tonight is going to be for schus for a full shleima for Yisrael Issa ben Chai Reza and for Yosef ben Malka Sheva. They should have a full shleima b'sav shayach chol Yisrael. We're learning a kuntres from Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg, but because as I've mentioned each time that it's really the transcription of an oral. I wouldn't even call it a shmooze unless you were there and if you've ever seen it. If you speak to one of the men that's been there, they'll tell you it's an event. It's not just it's not a shiur. It's just an event. So try to imagine the lights out, shalashu this time, a room packed with like 700 to 1,000 people, and a tsumer in the dark is like screaming these things, jumping. He can't even follow where he is, flying around the room. It's an experience. So because of that, and the chevra that we're translating it from the Yiddish, we try to remain as faithful to the ruach of Rav Tzvi Meir's talk, there's going to naturally be repetition, because that's the way that a shmuz is given, to be mechazik, the inyan. So we don't have to, there are little pieces that we could skip, even though we could use that as well, it certainly would help us. But mitzvah Hashem, we'll be zeichet to hear from Rav Tzvi Meir, by the way, has told me how thrilled he is that we're learning this, and he wanted to wish everybody a Frelach and Chanukah, and that everybody should have bracha nachas from their children. So he sent that along to everybody. So we'll skip just a little drop, because it's really being mechazik thing we were talking about. We're on page Tes. We're just going to review a drop, the paragraph on the right side where it says a Kamosha Kosuv v'Chazal Hakadoshim. Now the way that we should do this would really be to sit straight for like 7-8 hours and to do it normally instead of chopped up, but this is also part of our experience in Galus, that everything is in such a way. So we were talking about, Rav Tzvi Meir was talking about the marble, the flood. I was talking to some chaver about this last night, a little bit in Farakaway. The fact that we're living through times where the marble has reappeared, it's resurfaced. The flood, the primordial flood from the beginning of time has resurfaced, but not with water, but with Mayim HaZedonu, which are called the treacherous waters of disbelief, of heresy, of pretense, of immorality, and so on. And once again, but on a more national scale, the Jewish people like Noach are being told that the only way that we are able to rescue mankind is by entering into a teva, by entering into a boat. And the teva that we've learned about, we've been talking about, which is connected to the chuppah, is connected to the sukkahs. We'll talk more about marriage in a little while also. It means every single Jewish home is now a teva. Every Jewish home is a teva. And the meaning of the teva, as we've been learning about, is somehow to enclose our family, to be mechazik, the whole meaning of shmira, of watching and guarding the holiness and the tahara, the pureness of our children, which is the main achrayas of our generation. What he's talking about at the end of page Ches, which we don't really have to read inside, but what he's talking about at the end of page Ches is Kapitel Kuf Zayin. In Tehillim, all of you know Kapitel Kuf Zayin. You've said it 1,000 times more than me, I'm sure. Except, according to Baal Shem Tov, we say it every Friday night before Mincha. Every Friday afternoon before Mincha, Hoidel Hashem Ki Tov. And there is the source of where we learn of the four individuals who have to bench Gomel. Somebody that crossed an ocean, somebody that crossed a desert, a person who, God forbid, wasn't well, was bedridden, and was able to, Baruch Hashem, finally was able to have a refuah, and somebody who was imprisoned and was released from prison. And there, Davin Amalek is talking about the four types of tzaras. All Jews, according to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, go through these tzaras in different ways. It's not so much crossing over deserts, although we might fly over a desert. That's not the point. There are times in life, there's a poet, who was from the world of impurity, so I don't want to mention his name in this context, but I read a lot of his poetry a long time ago, and he had a poem called Desert Places. And in that poem he wrote about how I really don't have to go through the Mojave or other places in the world that are desert, because I have desert places of my own. And that means that there are times in life that are deserts where a person feels dry and empty, without any cheshik, anything, without any desire to daven, without any ability to show love to the people that we love, and so on. It's a time of a desert, and so on, with being imprisoned. I don't have to go through all of them. The ikr, the main tzara for the Jewish people, we all go through all four. Paul Shem Tov said we should say that Friday, right before Kabbalah Shabbos, because each week we go through those four. And finally we come to Shabbos, and we thank you to Baruch Shalom that we've come to Shabbos and we're free from those four levels of tzaras. But the Svarim HaKadoshim have revealed that the main tzara, the main problem, it's worse than a problem. Problem sounds like, you know, it's a little thing. The main source of anguish of the last generation before Mashiach comes is Oseh Malacha B'mayim Rabim, which means the person who's trying to cross a stormy ocean. And the winds are blowing the boat around Mamish like crazy. And you feel that the boat is going to break into a million pieces. And the Mayim Rabim, which means the confusion, the daigus of Parnassah, the worries over Parnassah, the lachatz, the pressure that we have, even though to a large extent Jews have never been more comfortable in all of history than we are now, but the emotional pressures, the social pressures. And then Mayim, which is, see this, Tanya explains in many places, and it's found in the Zohar Kodesh, that Mayim is always a simon of tanugim, of pleasures, of physical pleasures, that there's a marble of Mayim, of a flood of taivas, of desires that are now revisiting us before Mashiach comes, and our children are subjected to these storms, to these waves. And therefore, more than ever, the tachlis of our lives now is to try to become enclosed in the teva. Remember that we learned that teva, the boat, the word teva also means words. It means the teva, like the Baal Shem Tov said, enter into the words of davening. Enter into the words when Hashem told Noah to bring his family into the teva, into the words. But mostly it means what this entire country is about is the shmir that we've been talking about, trying to create a safe haven, some little oasis of normalcy, of holiness, of pureness in a world that is generally unbelievably stormy. And that's the avoda, the main avoda of our generation, and the achrayus that we have, not God forbid, to increase the storm waters for our children and for ourselves by bringing into our lives. It's bad enough that we have to be in this marble, but not to bring more of the marble into our homes. So let's just continue on page Tess. Those of you that don't have it, I know it's hard to listen, especially late at night, but I like to learn this inside, and maybe for the next time to focus that a few pages ahead from one of your chaveres. Ukumash Kosu b'chazal, on the right-hand side on page Tess. Ukumash Kosu b'chazal. Shedovet ha-melech olu v'shol mevakesh ata Hashem tishmein titzrenu min hadar zula olam. David HaMelech begged Hashem, please watch and guard us in this generation. David HaMelech was surrounded by enemies. Everybody knows that. The entire Sefer Tehillim. But we also know that Tehillim is for each and every one of us. That's why it resonates within each and every one of our hearts. Because David HaMelech wasn't only talking about Plishtim who were trying to kill him. David HaMelech wasn't only talking about Jews who are living under siege, like some of our brothers and sisters are living in Eretz Yisrael. David HaMelech was talking about enemies from outside and enemies within. The dor shalom be'ikr, al dor shul b'chinas, min hador zu la'olam, dor shal ha'alama. It says dor zu la'olam, save us from this generation, la'olam. Now the word la'olam, Chazal tell us, and you've heard this many times, that the word olam is from the word he'elam. Olam is the word he'elam. In Hebrew, ne'elam means what? When something disappears. So the word olam means concealment, when something is missing. So David HaMelech was davening for the generation at the end of time when there's going to be an unbelievable state of concealment, an unbelievable he'elam in the world of Hashem's presence. And my children have often asked me that, like every time we learn, they learn in school, that we're learning together about different nisim and the flows, miracles. So You know, my little one just asked me recently, they're learning in school, they're learning about Hanukkah already since like since Sukkot. They're learning about Hanukkah. So she asked me, like, are there any little jars of oil like that anymore, Daddy? And I would love to say, sure, sweetheart, look, we're gonna go see. There's a jar of oil, and we're gonna light it for 8 days. We're gonna light it forever. 8 means forever. So not only little children, but us big children, we're wondering how come we don't have any more of these nisim and floris. And we're thinking, yeah, if the Baal Shem Tov would be here, none of us would have any problems. We would see nisim and floris. This is the test. This is what we're going through at the end of time. To be able to make it through a marvel with such unbelievable concealment on Hashem's Baruch's part, and to be able to hold on these last few minutes before Mashiach comes, not to slip into the ocean. We're living in a time where the concealment, there's two things. There's the concealment of the Divine Presence, and there's this horrible marble. So David Melch was asking, Ata Hashem Tishmarim, watch. David Melch was asking Hashem to watch us, meaning that last generation before Mashiach comes, he was worried about us. Lonu Yeshus HaKalachas HaShmira HaElyona. Now David Melch, we believe with all of our hearts that David Melch's tefillah was answered. David Melch's tefillah was answered. So David Melch, way back thousands of years ago, David Melch was worried about us. He was worried about us. He was worried about going up, us going being in the secular world, going on the trains, husbands that have to go to places of impurity. And I know some of you also have to be in places that you'd rather not be during the day. You want to be with the families and so on. And David Melch was davening that Hashem should watch us. He asked, watch the generation of the flood. So it couldn't be that David Melch was talking about the earlier generation of the flood. What's there to watch? They're all already dead. So he was talking about that last generation, where there's going to be a flood again, but a different kind of flood, and there's going to be a headline, a concealment of your presence. David Melech Davin to Hashem, please watch them, take care of them. Therefore, Tzimei explains that we have to believe that despite the flood that we're in, despite the craziness, there is a koach, that Hashem is watching us, and we have help. Va'ata is Brisi Tishma, Es Ani Kel Shakai. Hashem used a name with Avram Avinu, the name of Shin Dalad Yud. And Hashem said, I am Hashem, Shin Dalad Yud, which we have on our mezuzahs, on our teva, on the door leading into our little tevas. We have Shin Dalad Yud. And Hashem says, Hishalach lefanai veheyei samim. Hashem told Avram Avinu, be simple, be pure-hearted. With the name Shin Dalad Yud, how does that help us? So he explains. It's a bechina shel yedei Hashem yemei tmimin, v'nachlosam la'olam tiyah. It's a bechina shel tamim tiyah m'Hashem alokecha. Not to ask questions, not to wonder, not to try to have an explanation of why is it that we have to live through such things, which is the koach of mitzvahs mila, a koach shalani kel shakai dai elokusi. Now that name Shin Dalad Yud, that's on the door on the mezuzah, Shin Dalad Yud means that the word in Hebrew "dai" means what? Must speak. It means enough. Shin Dalad Yud means, the Gemara says, Chazal tell us, that I have given enough of my godliness, enough of my presence. Dai elokusi. There's no one in the world that could say that he can't find me. There's nobody in the world that could say that I'm not available. Shin Dalad Yud means that there's enough of me in your life, on your level. Hashem doesn't expect us to be Dovra Malach, doesn't expect us to be Chavos Chaims. But Daya Lukusi, I feel a bedor shehaolam. I know haolam is mispashit umispashit. Omer Avinu shebishmaim. That what? That even the end of time, when there's going to be this unbelievable flood, our Father is still telling us a daya nisha maspik elokus shin dalad yud. Daya elokus. There's enough of my presence in your life that you should be able to find me, and that you should be able to serve me. Shani meyulachem. That I am going to shine into your lives. That's why we see that the Indian of lighting the Hanukkah candles So it's a very remarkable thing, and I'm not going to allow, I have to be careful not to get it. If I start getting into Chanukah, I'm not going to come back to the page. But the Inyan of Chanukah, you know, we don't have another mitzvah like this, where even though the original mitzvah, as you all know, was really that in each house, you just have to have one candle each night. That's all. You don't have to have one plus, then two, then three, then four. It's an, you don't have to, and you don't have to have each person lighting. There are different customs, but you don't have to have in each house one candle each night. Really, that's the din. But everybody knows that we have a mahadrin, mina mahadrin, that the Jewish people have taken upon themselves to try to light. Everybody tries to light, not just one candle, but each night to add candles and so on. Neir Yishu Beisach. And the tzaddikim explain that sometimes a person thinks, well, you know, Hashem does miracles for, like I know, in, you know, in my house, I would think that if there's any worthiness for miracle, it certainly is not me. It would be for the wife and for the children. So Hashem says, no, I want you, Arberg, I want you to light a candle too. It means I love you also, and I'm involved in your life too, and I'm going to perform miracles for you as well. So Chanukah illuminates our lives with this feeling that no matter how many mistakes we've made, no matter how low we are, that Hashem is Meir Lanu, that Hashem makes himself available to each and every one of us. That's why he wanted all of us, not just one candle. He wants us to add, and for each member of the household, and we should all, that each and every one of us should know that there is a specific candle, a specific light that shines for each and every one. It's not just in general for the house. Maybe that wouldn't include me because, you know, I'm excluded. And that's why the mitzvah of Chanukah menorah to begin with, even though, of course, you all know that we're allowed to light it up till 20 amos high, but the mitzvah to begin with is davkit should be lamata me'asar tefachim. The tzaddikim, many tzaddikim are very careful to light it on a low stool. If you've seen pictures, if you've seen of tzaddikim lighting candles, they light it on a low stool. That it should be davkin in a low place beneath asar tefachim, which is amazing. So the Bar Naim, the Chernobyl, explains in other tzaddikim that Chazal tells us that the Shechina, normally the divine presence stops 10 tefachim from the earth. The Shechina doesn't dirty itself with this world. It stops just ever so slightly above the world, the Shechina, with the exception of Chanukah. Chanukah, the mitzvah is to light the Chanukah menorah davke lamatim esar tefachim, and as you know, the original way that we kept the mitzvah, and in certain places they still keep in Yerushalayim, many places to light it by the door leading outside into the outside world, which means even those Jews who are the lowest Jews in the world, even those Jews who are outside of the Teva, who they're lost and they're already in the marble, they got lost Chas v'Shalom in the flood, that the light of Chanukah is able to reach down and to penetrate into the heart of each and every one of us. And Hashem is saying that's what it means when he says over here that Shani Meir Lachem, there's enough of my presence that I'm going to share with you. What did Hashem promise Yaakov Avinu? Hashem promised Yaakov Avinu, Esha'imo Anochi Betzara, that I will be with you for all of your tzaras. Anochi Eired Imcha Mitzrayma. Hashem promised Yaakov, and you remember that Yaakov was terrified. He didn't want to go to Egypt. Just like all of us don't want to go out from our little world either. And Yaakov was afraid. So he says, Hashem promised him, Anochi Eired Imcha Mitzrayma, I will go with you into Mitzrayim. Vanochi Alcha Gamalo, and I will also come out with you. Sheromez Al Hador Shalanu, this is hinting to our generation. Shemeir Habchin Shal Yaakov Ish Tam, that even though it's a crazy time that we're living in, that somehow we could be like Yaakov, who is described as a pure person, Ish Tam, an innocent, pure person, that Hatminas, Hashlichas Bechinas Noach Ish Tzadik Tamim Hayer B'derosa, just like Noach was able to somehow maintain his Tminas, his pureness, even though he lived through the generation of the flood, Sheyukal Lios Lanu Hatminas Hazev Hashlemas Hazev, this is one of the great wonders of Hashgachas Hashem. One of the great wonders of Hashgachas Hashem. Perhaps the greatest wonder that we could imagine. That in this generation that we're living in, with such crazy things going on, that Hashem still gives us enough light and gives us the opportunity that if we want to, legadel ulechanech doras kedoshim taharim, that we have the ability to raise and to educate holy and pure children, generations. When we irim lekabel pnei Mashiach tzekeinu, lichtige children, that we don't have to be ashamed to bring them to Mashiach tzekeinu. Doras nikim taharim legamrei, I was just talking to Rosh Hashiva, who mentioned to me that he had such an interesting experience. He had there was a new bacher that came to the yeshiva from out of town. It was a New York yeshiva, and a bacher came from out of town. And the Rosh Hashiva was listening. The bacher was sitting around by lunch and having a conversation. And they were talking. Some of the bacher came from all different backgrounds. Most of them in New York, Chavra, and his bacher was from out of town. So they were talking, and they were talking about where they had gone over the years to camp in the summer. So one of them mentioned the name of a camp, and the other bacher from out of town said, "Really, I never heard of that. What is that camp? Where is that?" So he said, "It's up in the mountains, or in Pennsylvania somewhere." And they were talking about it, and it came out in conversation. I know this is going to sound very odd. It came out in conversation that they told him that this boy, apparently when he was younger, he went to a co-ed camp. There were boys and girls in the camp. So the fellow from out of town, who came from a very, very strong teva, so he said, "I mean, Shema Shabbos?" And the Rosh Hashiva was listening to this, and the boy said, "Well, why not?" So he said, "Well, how could it be Shema Shabbos? The boys and girls together in the same camp? Shema Shabbos?" So, isn't it? It's very quaint, it's very cute, and we think, oh, wow, it's like a hick, right? He's a real hick. You know, Hashem's Baruch would want more hicks like that in the world. And the Rosh Hashiva said, "What a breath of fresh air." It's like this kid somehow in 2003, that there could be a Messias of a kid that is like untouched by this, and he never heard of such a thing. How could it be? All right, it's like we all feel like say, "Come on, buddy, you know, get with it," you know, or like they say, "Get real," which is a horrible expression. Get real. It's not like there's such a choshev reality to get into, but that there could be. You know, he said, "What a breath of fresh air that like there's a bach that like can't even imagine." Can't even imagine because the Chofetz Chaim also wouldn't have chap. How could that be? And the Baruch Shem also doesn't kivyochel chap. How could that be? That such a preacher's now generation of, but it's so hard. But he's saying, you see, it's possible. Hashem gave us the ability to watch our children if we want to. He puts the shin bal gid on each of our doors, and every time we walk in and we touch the mezuzah, girls are usually very big mezuzah kissers. You know, you have girls that are unbelievable mezuzah kissers. You know, that they can't pass any place. It's like, "Mom, mish mezuzah, mezuzah." So, you know, the ick is, the Rambam doesn't speak about kissing, but we should stop, not just to kiss the mezuzah, you should stop by a second. When I would go with my Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, it was a thing that I learned from how he would go by mezuzah. I remember we were once walking someplace. I was walking with him. He walked very quickly, even though he was almost 90. I was always running after him. And he was walking, and he would hold me, you know, I would hold him like this on my arm, and I was about to go through someplace, and he stopped. He stopped, and he wouldn't go there. And I said, "Rebbe, you know, is everything okay?" So he said, "There's no mezuzah here. There's no mezuzah here." I said, "There's a mezuzah here. It was in a room from the yeshiva. There's a mezuzah here." He said, "He doesn't like that mezuzah. It's not, something's wrong with the mezuzah," and he wouldn't walk over there. And after I told a person from the yeshiva that this would happen, and they checked the mezuzah, the mezuzah was possible. And he wouldn't walk there. He wouldn't walk through the door. And when I used to walk with him, I first brought him to see my son, Asher Zeilig. He came in for Akwa. I brought him to see Ushi to give him a brach. And when I brought him to the house, he was stopped by the door. He put his head against the door, put his hand on the mezuzah, and he would lean on it for like 5 minutes. That's how he goes into a house. The name Shin Dalet Yud that's on the mezuzah means that when you walk into your house and when you leave your house and you touch the mezuzah and you look at those letters, you should remember Shaddai Elokusi L'Chalbiria, that I have given enough of myself to you that you could remain pure even in this generation. So when you leave the house, you should keep that in mind, that wherever you're going to go, Dai L'Lakusi, I gave enough of myself that you could remain pure. And he says this is one of the greatest Nisim of our times, that it's possible to raise children despite everything. It's one of the greatest Nisim of our times, and it can only be explained that David HaMelech was begging and crying to Hashem to guard that last generation that's going to have to live through a flood. That's the only way we can understand it. So let's continue. The Zohar Kach in paragraph Ches. V'hamatana she'avinu she'b'shamayim nosu lanu. This is a great gift that Hashem has given us. V'kadosh Baruch Hu rotzeh she'nizkor neshanah kiseidah she'medabrim milivnos tevas noch medaber milivnos beis hamikdash prati. That Hashem Baruch wants us each to build our own private beis hamikdash. That means that the tevas noach, our homes, which are a teva, is like a little beis hamikdash. And that's what's also special about Chanukah. Chanukah, you and I are involved in a mitzvah, lighting the menorah, that normally was done only in the Beis HaMikdash. To have such a thing, the light of menorah is done in the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens on Chanukah is a remarkable thing. On Chanukah, each and every one of us becomes like a little Kohen Gadol, like a that's getting the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, in our own house. When you light the menorah, Mitzvah Shem, Friday afternoon, when there's the first candle, when we light the menorah, we should imagine, we should think, that the reason that we could do this is because every Jewish home can be a Beis HaMikdash. And every single one of us is like a Kohen, like a Kohen Gadol. And we have to remember this. Arei Miklat Prati. We spoke about that last time. Arei Miklat means the city of refuge. No matter what's going on everywhere else in the world, that we could run to this place and know that we're out of that whole craziness. And this is a place that's holy, that's pure, that's normal. Sitzis Prati. We spoke about the talus. Remember, we wrapped the little boy in the talus when he goes to Cheder the first time. Oros Makifim Pratiim, surrounding lights that we spoke about last time. Again, that protect us. Sheesh b'chol bayis Yehudi, in every Jewish home, kol bayis mukav bor Hashem shechofif alav v'bchinas anani hakavod. Every Jewish home is surrounded by the anani hakavod, by the clouds of Hashem's glory. Shohaya anan Hashem aleihem yomam umare eish laila. That we know that in the time when we were in the desert, that during the day it was the cloud, and during the night it was a pillar of fire. K'moshe tzadikim haben gekocht. That the tzaddikim, he always uses that term, which means they were cooking about this. They were very excited about this concept. Night, of course, doesn't only mean nighttime in the desert. Night means when it's difficult for us, when we're going through difficult times. Now, the time that we're living in now is the end of the night, which is the darkest time, right before Ayelos HaShachar, right before Alos HaShachar, before the first appearance of light, the darkness is deepest. Bizman Ayelos HaShachar, she said, Bechinas Hazman Lefnei B'Yesu Mashiach. This is the time that we're living in now, before Mashiach. And Hashem put our neshamas into this generation. How come Hashem didn't put us into earlier generations? How come you and I weren't living 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago? Why not? How come Hashem Yisbarach put us into this generation? Because Hashem Yisbarach knew that only we would be able to manage somehow to continue to hold on to Torah mitzvahs. It sounds crazy, because we look at ourselves as being the weakest, most fragile, Jews in the world. The emphasis is that we have unbelievable kaychas, that even in this time of Saif HaLayla, the end of the night, that we could still be great Jews, we could be big tzaddikim. In the night, Hashem gives us a gift that's called the pillar of fire. What is the pillar of fire? What does that mean? The pillar of fire says shel eish ahava. It means the fire of love. It's a toichei rotsuf ahava. The way that Shlomo HaMelech described the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the inside of a Jewish home, that it should be filled with love. When Shlomo HaMelech spoke about the Beis HaMikdash, even though it was beautiful, beautiful to look at, but he spoke Rotsuf, he says, Rotsuf Ahava. It was paved with love. It was filled with Ahava. And so too, he says, this love, Shaboya ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu Klai Yisrael, which was the love between Hashem and the Jewish people, Uben Klai Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people to Hashem, which the whole book of Shir Shirim is describing, Vizeh Shomer Aleinu. This protects us. This protects us, knowing that what? That even now, that Teichai Rotsuf Ahava, that our homes are filled with Hashem's love for us, and that we also, in turn, can be filled with that amud esh, that pillar of fire. Is a shomer, this watches us. It says, "Vayhibin soha aron." When the aron in the midbar would be traveling, so we say that every time we take out the sefer Torah in shul, we say "Vayhibin soha aron." Now, what happens when we say by even so on? Yesus Hashmir Atzumah Shal Kuma Hashem V'yafut Zoyevecha V'yandu Sumisanecha. So you've all heard this thousands of times. Kuma Hashem V'yafut Zoyevecha. When the Aaron would travel through the desert with the pillar of fire and the cloud, so we would scream out, Kuma Hashem V'yafut Zoyevecha. Hashem, rise up and scatter, disperse all of your enemies. V'yandu Sumisanecha, and all of those who hate you will run for their lives. So that is something which is not only in the desert, but it's something which travels with us throughout our galus, wherever we go. Kum Hashem via futsu evecha via nusu misanecha. And it doesn't only mean the enemies that are trying, that there are enemies that we have that would like to see us got to be killed. But it doesn't only mean those physical enemies, it means the spiritual enemies as well. And that's why I mentioned last night when I was talking to the Chevra there in Farakwe, I mentioned something that I saw recently in a Sefer. But I saw a beautiful thing in a Sefer that I want to share with all of you about Reb Ben-Zion Abishol. And I was told last night that the Tzaddik Reb Ben-Zion Abishol, who died just a few years ago, was one of the biggest father shaposkim in the world, that Reb Ben-Zion Abba was going walking on the street in Yerushalayim, and there was a school bus that was letting off the boys. And the bus driver was getting very angry. In general, Israeli bus drivers are always angry for some reason. So, most of them. So, but they're nice in the end. They're always nice in the end. So the boys were spending a little bit of, they were supposed to get off the bus, and instead they were like talking on the bus or getting into some little argument with the boys, and the bus driver started to yell at them, "Get up, get going, get out of here." He started to yell, and then he was very embarrassed because all of a sudden Reb Ben-Zion Abishol peeks into the bus. He was standing there and he heard the guy yell at the children. And he stands up, you know, the bus driver is also a Saudi. He stands up, you know, they're very afraid of tzaddikim, you know, then. And says, "Oh, Kod Arav," he didn't know what to say. So Ben Sin Abishol told him, I want you to understand, listen, there's something we should hold on to. Because I know that just like me, some of you might have problems with bus drivers, with your children. I have a lot of problems over the years with the bus drivers. So, I mean, some of them just push it, you know, crazy. It's just crazy, crazy people. It's so easy to be nice, especially to children. I don't understand, but all right, that's an Indian that needs further investigation. So, the Reb Ben-Zion Abishol said that you should know that when you are opening the door to your bus, it's mamish like you're opening up an Aron Kodesh, and when you're closing the door of your bus, it's like you're closing the Aron Kodesh. Every little boy that comes in to your bus, it's like psicha, it's like you're bringing back the Sefer Torah into the Aron, and every single time you open the door to let the boys off to go home, it's like the Sefer Torah is being taken, and instead of yelling at them, you should give them a kiss, just like you would give a Sefer Torah a kiss. And this, that I saw this last Erev Shabbos, this is ringing in my head. If Reb Ben-Zion Abishol told that to a bus driver, that it's a job, and can you imagine how we have to feel like when we open the door to let our children into the house, mostly the mothers are there at that time, to open the door to let the children in, and in the morning when we open the door to let the children out, how we have to realize that every child is mamish a Sefer Torah, and it's so hard, especially those times, it's very, very hard, and the same way that a Sefer Torah deserves to be greeted and taken care of properly, and if it's possible that the mother should be there for psicha. Many women are upset that they never get a chance to do psicha. Right, and sure, we never get to say, no one ever is mechabed you psich. It's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. So here you have every day, those of you who are blessed with children, every day, if you have children, they're going to school, you could call out your name and say, we could say, mechubed, chaya, chaya sara, is mechubedis mepsicha. And it doesn't cost you anything, you don't have to bid, you don't have to have a whole thing like the men have with each other, like how come he got it and I didn't get it. It's all yours, every morning, you can sing with the children, vayhi ben sayara, vayayam ma'isha, kuma Hashem. Listen, but when you send the children out, this is what I was thinking about so much, when you send the children out, and I've been trying to think about this with the children, and when you send them out, what do we daven when we send the children out? There's little Sefer Torahs with their knapsacks and the funny hats and gloves, especially now they're cuter than ever. So what are we thinking about? We're thinking, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzo evecha. This is all I've been thinking about since I saw this Ma'aseh Erev Shabbos. Kuma Hashem v'yafutzo evecha. Hashem, rise up. Take away from my children. There shouldn't be any enemies to hurt them. But not only physical enemies that could hurt them. V'yanusa misanacha. I don't want my children seeing anything from anybody that hates you, Hashem. Anybody that's against your way, the way that my wife and I try to teach them. Kuma Hashem. You know what? It's giving me such chizik this story, I can't tell you. Try it. Try thinking about this. It's such a chizik to think this way. It's that's how the tzaddik looks at the world. He sees a bus driver pulling a lever, and all of us are thinking, "Ah, what a job! This is a terrible thing, poor guy." And he's yelled. He saw this like mamish. He saw children coming out like coming out from an Aron Kodesh, little kids. But that's the tefillah of Kuma Hashem Yafutzu Oivecha, that the daven, that the children, that wherever they go, they should be a shmir, they should be watched, they should be protected. Wherever they go. And you know something, it doesn't only mean where they have to, where they're walking. Nowadays, they made it almost impossible that a child should be able to be, that a kid, once he really gets, or she gets older, to even do schoolwork without having to go onto the internet and onto these machines. That everybody's screaming about the internet, but at the same time, the schools are giving assignments that require, that make it almost impossible for a child to compete with other children unless you're on the internet. And everybody's screaming, it's such a mixed message, you know, the internet is tummy, tummy, tummy. And for tonight's homework about tumma, you have to look up every website about tumma. And like, what are they supposed to do? Okay. So think about it also, that you have to daven. First of all, of course, you have to take practical steps, that they should never be in a place late or by themselves. But besides that, you should daven Kum Hashem v'yafutzu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha. Then not only when my kid goes to school, and kid's getting older and they're going out into the world, help them whenever they're surfing on the web, that they should never ever meet up with one of Hashem's enemies. They should never go, God forbid, to a wrong place. It never was like this. We never had to worry about this. We only had to worry about our children going away from home. We never had to worry about them being in the home and going away from home. We're living in such a time that they're in your own house. They're in a room in the house. And they could be millions of miles away from their parents. They could be in places that you or I would never, ever, God forbid, think of going to. And the children, somebody was just telling me, I was talking to one of the Chavayim, that found, he was looking through some things of one of the children, and he found the whole history. We're talking about a boy that just is in high school, just started high school, that he has this relationship with a girl, that the lashonis, the words that are being used, he found that the boy didn't know enough to cover the tracks with a computer. He's not that sophisticated. And the father found that he has hundreds of emails back and forth filled with the craziest tumma that he's sending back and forth with some girl. And now the father's give up. What am I going to do? So the children are now living at a time when they're home and they're traveling. You remember Fiddler on the Roof, that beautiful part when the lighting candles, right? So Hashem should always watch you wherever you go. And that was a tefillah that all of our mothers said for us when they lit candles, that we should be kept, that not the Ayin Hara. People come to ask me, they ask me, Shaz, what about the Ayin Hara? People are so worried about Ayin Hara, so they're wearing all kinds of things and put up signs and wear necklaces. All the Ayin Hara said, what? That's what you're worried about? That's what you're paying for America Online. You're paying the what? And your children are going to places you're davening that what? That no, that they should never be seen the wrong way. Their eyes should never see things that are not pure, that are not holy, and where are we sending them? And that these machshavas that they have to live with the rest of their lives. These things, these places where they go on that machine, when they go to these places, even though everybody's saying, I'll be alright, you know, like people always say, listen, I also did stuff. So you see, I'm fine. First of all, it's not true, we're not fine. That's not true. Who's fine? Number one. Number two, the things that you and I mean, there are different ages here, but it's the things that you and I contended with, I'm talking about myself growing up 40 years ago, 35 years ago, it's not the same thing that the children are contending with these days. And they're taking these trips in our homes. So you have to scream at Kuma Hashem v'yafutzo evecho v'yanusu misanach mipanecha, that the Baruch they shouldn't be killed by any of the enemies that they find on this website and that website, because the kids are going all over the place on these machines. The chatting rooms, all these things. And it's not like my whole mahalak is really, I'm not one of those that feels that it's, that, you know, we should just, the tumma. But we have to worry about our children. That's what this whole Indian is about, to worry about our children, to daven for our children, to take precautions for our children. So that's what he's explaining. That the home has to have an Umud Ha'esh, there has to be a pillar of fire. Now he talks about what does it mean on a simpler level, the pillar of fire. Ukshimadabri Milubnas Bais Yehudi Lubnas Tevas Noch, Enakavan Adavkarak, Vishosh Oskim Lahedi Bavodish Shmira. As next page. As Ani Bone Satevas Noch, Ukshimadabri Mayeladim, Mitahari, Miadinus, Mitsnius, Mikdusha. So a person might think, well, you know, I am a good Teva builder. I am a good builder of an ark because I talk to my children about the parasha. I say Kriya Shema at night with my children, and these are all wonderful things. So we might think that perhaps we're yotzei with that. In other words, we talk to them about Yiddishkeit at the Shabbos table. We sing zmiras. It's all beautiful. So you might think, well, I'm a good table builder. I'm doing my job as a table builder. I spend my 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, building the teva. when we talk to the children about being adinus, which means being adinus, edel, gentle mannered, and so on, and it's nias and to be modest and so on. And we tell our children how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every Jewish neshama, l'chol ben, every son, l'chol bas, every daughter, l'chol talmud, every student, l'yos b'b'chinas Avraham Avinu, to be like an Avraham Avinu, b'b'chinas ani choma. Avraham Avinu said about himself, even though it's in Shir Hashim, I am a wall, ani choma. Which is also connected to Chanukah. What does it mean, I am a wall? I am a wall means that I'm impenetrable. There are things that I believe in, there are things that I know, and there's nothing in the world that's going to shake me. We want to have children like that. We want to be able to have children that wherever they go in the world, they're not going to be seduced or tempted by those sounds that they hear out there. They're not going to want to check into those things. That's how strong the world is. The meaning of Chanukah, of course, is Yevadim Nikbetzu Alai, Azav Yemei Chashem, Ufaritzu Chomos Migdalai. That the walls were broken through. The walls were broken through. And the Inyan of Chanukah is to strengthen the walls, to rebuild the walls. That's why it's connected to Asar B'Tavis, which there was a failure with Asar B'Tavis. And of course, this siege of Yerushalayim. And we're living now at a time, even not in Yerushalayim, but there's a siege. There's something going on outside of our walls. And our children have to grow up with Ani Chayma. I am a wall. I am a wall. And those people that give speeches about, well, we have to be so worldly. The biggest, it's like you think that the biggest, most important ikker in all of life is that the child should be worldly. So I've had conversations with people that can't believe, how is it possible you could bring up a child without a television? How is it possible? And I said, I don't understand, how is it possible to bring up a child with a television? So the teretz is, don't you want your child to be worldly? Okay, I want them to be worldly, but I have a list of priorities. And my list of priorities, at least for the first 17, 18 years, until they're strong enough, until the walls have been fortified, I want them to be surrounded completely in wholeness. Then they're going to be in a position where they can make these choices of what they want in the world. But don't tell me that some 7-year-old little kid should be worldly, and there's some sort of a tachlis of being worldly. What, there's some sort of a goal? In Hashem's eyes, do you think that's the tachlis of our lives? Even if you say that there is such an Indian, like, that every kid should know what's going on in the world. I've had many conversations and I've spoken together many times with psychologists, especially the year of the Mice in Manhattan. So the World Trade Center. So I was going to many places with a friend of mine, Dr. Palkovich, is a very choshev therapist. And we spoke together on a number of occasions, and I was listening very carefully to what he was saying. And he was saying how children are mostly being traumatized by the images that they're watching on television over and over and over again. The images that they're watching on television and that they're hearing about, and all of these things that they're delicate neshamas, they're not ready for these things. They're not prepared for these kind of things. So all of this is what? No, I want my child to be worldly. At what expense do you want your child to be? What is the expense? What price are you paying for worldliness? Do you think that there's some sort of a tachlis? My child, how is it? I'm going to bring. I was raised with Sesame Street. I'm not saying I never saw Sesame Street in my life, but now a younger mother or father might say, I was raised with Sesame Street. I don't want to deprive my child of Sesame Street. I've heard things like this. I was raised with non-Jewish music and so on. I don't want to deprive my child. What does that mean? You don't want to deprive your child. So here you're making a choice to deprive your child of what? Of being a pach shem and a jar of oil, which is sealed with the seal of the high priest, which is holy and pure. That you can deprive your child of, but you can't. I can't deprive the Sesame Street. Not to say the Sesame. I never saw it. I don't know, but I know the one time my mother used to say, "Can I let the children watch? Why don't you let the children watch?" When they were over there by my mother, watch them out. You have no rachmanis. He's so cruel. He's so fanatic. Maish. What's that? So, when my mother, when they were little, the only thing I saw once for a second was I walked into the room they were watching with my mother, Sesame Street. At that time it was Meir and Suri, the little ones were sitting on the edge of the bed, watching with my mother, all of them like this, watching Sesame Street. And there was a funny looking creature in a costume that was teaching the alphabet and was saying B as in boogie. That's all I heard. And then they did a dance to some rap music. So that's all I know about. I'm assuming there's other stuff that goes on, but my only exposure to Sesame Street was B as in boogie. So would I want to deprive my child of that? Yes. I don't see what the tachlis is. And we have to be prepared to face the Kadosh Baruch Hu in 120. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you sit tzedekis. You love your children so much, you didn't want to deprive them of those things that you had, but you deprived them of the things that I wanted them to have. I wanted your son and daughter to be raised in pureness and in holiness. I wanted you to have tzaddikim, tzadkanius. That was the top priority. If they want to be worldly, then when they're bali bechira, they'll make a bechira. They're going to go. They're all going to end up in the world. Don't worry. They'll end up in the world. I want them to be at a point where they can make bechira with heaven. Ani chaimu. There's a wall. There's a fortified city. We have a Jew that's strong. And all of these svaras that you and I use, that people you hear all the time, these svaras, all these rationalizations about how, and you know, otherwise, like I have, you know, how many times, I'll have to listen to this. This is mamish amazing. But you could only comment on it when there's clarity. So I've heard this many, many times. So I would have a discussion. Why do you send your kid to a co-ed school? Why do you send your kid to a co-ed camp? It's not good. You know, let them, it's unhealthy emotions, a lot of things besides the Yiddish guy. So then I'll have, this is, I'm talking about an 8-year-old child. I've had many times that a parent would say to me, well, I want my son to be able to know how to relate to girls. As if this is something that's just like, nobody ever worked this out, this Indian. Like, you know, how's this going to happen? Somehow the Baruch Shalom, it works out. I don't know how, but at some point they discover each other. But this is like a svar of an 8-year-old kid. So the Baruch Shalom is Yeshua B'Shamayim Yisrael, whether Hashem is laughing or crying. Hashem says, I don't want that now for an 8-year-old child. I want him to meet his wife under the chuppah. Or he can meet her like a couple of days before, whatever. But I don't want like making little shaduchim and zivugim between 8-year-olds and to have what a kalus reish. You know, it's totally politically incorrect to talk this way. And you know, forgive me. I never mean to hurt anybody's feelings. Chas v'shalom. And I believe and I love and respect every Jew, whatever their choices are, in a very, very complete and total way. But I can't stand and be silent, not to say that there's something that just our minds are so warped by thoughts that are not coming from holiness. That we can say such a bizarre and absurd thing that a little kid has to learn how to relate to girls. Girls and boys, when they're 8 years old, 9 years old, they have their cousins. They have enough shaykhs to cousins. And that also is confusing. That's also confusing. All psychologists say it. I've spoken to people about it. There's a lot of confusion with the boys and girls. And then you put them into a camp and they see counselors up to funny stuff. You know, it's all confusing. Even without the Yiddishkeit. But the point is that Hashem Yisbarach said, I want you to watch them. I want you to take care of them. And I understand that you want them to be well-adjusted, you know, men and women, as if this has produced a generation of such wonderful marriages, you would think. Like all the co-ed people, like they're so happily married, you know, because they grew up co-eds. Now they just continue in their co-edness. And you think that it would be so, everybody's so like happy and well-adjusted. There's plenty of tsaros. I mean, there's never been this crazy tsaros going on between men and women. So many strange and bizarre things are happening. And you would think that they had 20 years to practice for Baruch Shalom. 20 years. And I have cousins of mine that they had never spoken in the light, never saw them, my relatives. And Leanne Harim, and everything should go well. Everything's good. It's a sweet thing. And they learn how to love each other, to care for each other, but having a memory of 30 girls that he went out with, and without her thinking of 30 guys that she knew. And on a difficult day with her husband, oh, Gewalt, it was once, I remember I had that boy, you remember in college, ooh, that was special. If I would have married him, look at my lawyers, look at him, guys sleep on the couch, you know. And this guy's like some prince, you know, in shining armor. You imagine, he's also not, but he's also bald and fat by now. The guy from the college, right? But the memories of Gewalt, the memories, so this is all part of the chinuch of our children. I mean, I'm saying, I'm obviously being very, very, forgive me, I'm being very cynical and sarcastic, but only to make a point, and the point is a real point, and I don't want us to lose the point in my Narish guide, because I'm saying it in a Narish way, but I mean it. Sometimes in order to understand, like we're learning in Narish HaTshuvah here, in order to understand the difference between good and evil, one has to really focus to see what's wrong with something. What's wrong with this? What is this? In order to appreciate it. So he's saying, what Simei is explaining over here, is that our children have to be raised in a place, Ani Chom, I am a wall, Yos Avram HaIvri. Like Avram Avinu, we're on page Yud, six lines down. Like Avram Avinu, B'chinas Ani Chom, Yos Avram HaIvri. Why is he called HaIvri? Kol HaOlam Kulo Me'Ever Zeh. He was called the Ivri, Hebrew, because Ivri means, as you know, Chazal tell us, the whole world was on one side, and he was on the other side, and he didn't care. Everybody's different from me. I'm proud of who I am. I'd be like the menorah, and the whole world should see our menorahs. This is who we are. We're not ashamed. We have this koyach in Avraham Avinu to be strong, to be like walls. However, we have to remember, Rav Tzvi Meir says, that Hashem doesn't want only that we should do this when we're learning with the kids and we're talking to the kids about Yiddishkeit. And when they're in the home together with us, lo rak oz bonim es tevas novach, lo rak shemadarbim ha'yeladim shalom ad kamet sfichim l'stagi b'sof ha'teva. Not only when we're talking about our kids, about how they have to be with, you know, in kedusha and be in the teva. And that we shouldn't, that telling our children how they shouldn't be influenced by any of those who are weakening that wall. Mikol mina abchinas shel ach hula bal mashkes mikol amecharfim b'marfin mikol abchinas harefidim ha'amalek ha'esav ha'edom shemistayv mi'bayisim b'chutz. We have to tell our children over and over again to be careful and to be very, very cautious about all those karkas of amalek and esav and edom that are surrounding us inside and out. Mikol ha'inyanim ha'achem shemashpiim hepach mi'utzani yisbroch hepach mi'imus Hashem amaros taharis hepach mi'ata kodesh v'shimcha kodesh mi'ka amchi Yisrael. That we have to teach our children to be careful of all those things that are the opposite of Ata Kodesh, Veshimcha Kodesh. You are holy, and your name is holy, and your Jewish people are holy. Shem b'chinas u'kadoshim b'chol yom yaluch ha'sala, u'kamesh ha'kosuk, ki am Kodesh Ata, Hashem describes us as a holy nation. Lo rak oz bonim es ha'tevas noch. Not only when we talk to our children about these things are we building the ark. Ela avinu shebashamayim rotsu shenizkar, ki kol hanhogas achayim keseda. In all of our lives, all of the time, not just when we're talking to our kids about important things. When our children watch us, how we act, how we live, what are our priorities, how do we spend our vacations, where are mommy and daddy on their vacations, what do we do in our spare time, what are the books that we read, what are the magazines that we're looking at, what are the things that the children, every single thing, not only we're lecturing them, the main chinuch is not even the lecture. You forget the lectures. But the children see what are our priorities. The children see what are we reading, where are we going. If you think they don't know, it's not true. The tzaddikim tell us that wherever a parent goes, the Rebbeinu Shalom lets that neshama of the child know exactly where his parents are. Exactly. The children know exactly where the parents are every moment of their lives because the neshamas are bound together. And the child might not, the child certainly doesn't know it, in a conscious way, but the neshama of the child is hurt. If a mother or father are someplace where they shouldn't be or are doing things that they shouldn't do, the child feels, the neshama of the child feels that pain in an unbearable way, and it takes them away from their parents. They feel in certain ways, they feel repulsed and disgusted if, God forbid, the parents are doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And this is what it says in the Svamaka. That's what he means. Shinizkaki kol hanhogas achayim kiseida. Everything in life, not just when we're lecturing the kids. Wherever we are, whatever we do, there's no escaping. This is what we put into the world for. There's no time off. We're building this protection. When you or I are careful with what we do, when you or I are careful with what we look at, when we're careful with how we speak, when we're careful with what we look at, that gives our children more and more karchis, more and more shmir. So a parent, this parent that was telling me about his little boy that he found that he has this girlfriend on the internet. So he asked me, what could I do? I said, well, you can't confront him right now with that because it could be very, very bad that you were looking at his things. You have to be very careful. That was a betrayal. Well, you know, it's a very dangerous thing. He'll feel very hurt by that. So I said, there are two things right now. We'll talk more. We'll see, you know, a little while. But right now, there are two things that you could do. One is, davening is always very important. The second thing is that you be careful. He didn't want to hear that. You know, I was going to say that. It's only how am I going to stop my kid? I said, if you're going to show Hashem Yisbarach, if you're going to fortify your world, if you're going to be strong with what you look at, if you're going to turn off the machines and not to pay any attention to these things and spend, put your eyes more in the Gemara, put your eyes more in the Sfarim, then it's going to have hashpah that your child will have a stronger shemir. That's how Hashem does it. There's no shortcuts. When we do that with ourselves, it creates a shmirah for our children. And it doesn't make a difference if you prove, yeah, but I know that this girl turned out to be such a big tzaddik because her parents are the worst. This is also like from an irrational place when people say these things like, you know, well, I know. There's like this thing. There are things that are bederech hateva and there are things shalom bederech hateva. Nobody would say, I don't mind having a certain sickness because I know that 2 out of every 10,000 survive. So I'm fine with that. That's ridiculous. that's not the derech hateva. There's a certain mahalach. The certain mahalach is that this is what we try to do. That our children should come out. That they should be good children. And Baruch Hu said, "Kol hazman." Therefore, we're building that teva all of the time. The second you get married, and he's going to explain it even before you have the kids, with God's help. Not everybody's zayich the children, but if you're zayich the children, even before you have the children, when you get married, already, even before you get married, lemaisa, before you get married, maschilim livnas is a teva. You're already in the process of creating that teva, that boat. It's a base Yaakov. This Indian of what? Of the house, which I spoke about last night, Beis Yaakov, which we're going to see inside, I guess, next time. Es ha-bechina shel Yaakov ish u-beiso bo. The greatest compliment that was given to Yaakov Avinu was that he came with his family. At the beginning of Sefer Shmos, Eilu Shmos b'nei Yisrael ha-boi mitzvayma, Es Yaakov ish u-beiso bo. That Yaakov Avinu came with the entire mishpacha. With the entire mishpacha. It's becoming harder and harder to do that. You know, when Mashiach's going to come soon, Mitzvah Hashem, should be any day. It's going to be very, very hard. There are going to be many fine Jews who are not coming with all of their children because the children are not with them. I don't mean because they live out of town. They don't want to have a shaychus to Yiddishkeit, God forbid. It's becoming harder and harder. Es Yaakov ish u'beiso, like it says by Hanukkah candles, ner ish u'beiso. That everybody should be home to light the menorah. And that's why the meaning of Yosef HaTzadik is that of Yaakov Avinu, that when Yosef was missing, as I spoke about, I think, last time, that Yaakov Avinu was standing and waiting, what's going to be with Klal Yisrael? There's no Yosef HaTzadik when Yosef HaTzadik was missing, which is the meaning from this parish, when Yosef HaTzadik disappeared, because Yosef HaTzadik means that tzadik inside each and every one of us. And Yaakov Avinu was, it says, Vayimoyim Hisnachim, he couldn't be consoled. Because what? Because his child wasn't home. And that's not just talking about Yosef in the time, it means any parent, God forbid, who has a child that's not living, who's not with him, who's not babayis. It doesn't mean physically in the house, but any child who's, God forbid, stuck someplace in Mitzrayim, in a crazy place, far from holiness. That what? How many Jewish parents are now standing by the doors when they're at Hanukkah and they're looking out like Yaakov, and where's Yosef and Tzadik? Where's my child? I thought he was going to be a Tzadik when we had him. When he was little, everybody called him Tzadik, Tzadik, Tzadikus. Where are they now? Where are they? So that's the meaning of Yaakov Avinu missing Yosef HaTzadik, that there shouldn't, God forbid, be a separation between parents and children who are living through such an unbelievable, difficult time of parents with children, that they should be together, Ishu Beiso, that the parents, that we should be able to come and greet Mashiach Zaken with all of our children. Shouldn't Chas V'Sholom be, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Schussi, again, I used to say, that there aren't only four children in the Haggadah, there's really, at the Seder, four, there's really a fifth. The fifth one doesn't even come to the Seder. The Rasha, the wicked son, at least he came to the Seder, that's not bad. He came to the Seder, that's pretty good. But there's a fifth of the Rav Shavir, and you know what he used to say, the Rav Shavir, he used to tell his chassidim, I want you to go find that fifth one and bring him back. That's what the Rav Shavir said, I want you to find that fifth one, I want you to bring him home. Because there's no greater nachas ruach that you give the Baruch Shalom, who's our father, when you bring one of his children back home. And this is our avodah now, to try that we should be able to greet Mashiach Zakein, Yaakov, Ishu Beis Obo. And if you think about that, then the silly comments like, I want my kid to be like out there. I want my kid to be worldly. If anybody would come to you and say, hey, you know what? You're using your child, you've decided that our greatest priority in your child is that he should go to some college, you know, in Ithaca, whatever, because you heard that over there, like, he might get, you know, if he goes to that college, if you do well in that college, you can start off as a starting salary, you can make already like 10,000 more than if you go to Queens College or something, I don't know. If you go to Ithaca, or someplace further away, and a parent makes these choices for children, and they bring up children in that direction, oy vavoy, and the schools, if there are schools that are like this, if the yeshivas that are in any way are in some way causing the children to be inclined away from their homes, away from their parents, away from their brothers and sisters, away from Jewish community, God forbid. And what's the priority? So we're going to say to Mashiach Zakein, we're not going to come with all of our children, we're going to say, well, I want my kid to have a break. I want my kid to have an Ivy League, you know, to be able to go to the fraternity. And how did you do that? Well, there's a Chabad house in Ithaca. All of these ridiculous things, that it's true. But that's not why the Chabadskis are there for your kid. They're there for the fifth. They're Rebbe Center for the fifth kid. Not for one of our kids. It's not there for our kids. They'll service our kids too, because they'll take care of any Jew. But that's not why they're there. They're there for the fifth child. But we shouldn't be sending our children away. The children have to be with us. With us. with us, I say to parents now, but koshi even to send the kid to a dormitory, to send away. But Eretz Yisrael is also, okay, because now we need to get them away from the Sviva, and Eretz Yisrael has become in our generation a bit of a Tevas Nar, but it's still to send the children away, is it's a hard decision to make that a child should leave the house. Sometimes it's a house where the child should go away from that house, unfortunately. It's terrible to say, but sometimes there's a home where it's an unhealthy environment, and there isn't a Tevas Nar, and that the children need to go someplace else, to be in a yeshiva, to be somewhere else where they're not in such a house, that they're fighting and there's arguments, or God forbid, things like that. But we're living in crazy times, and the whole tefillah that we have now is that we should be able to greet Mashiach with our children together, all of our families together, all dairies, all generations together. Our zaydis, our bubbies, our grandparents, our great-grandparents went through fire, mamish fire, ice and fire, that they should be Jews, and they can have tainus. And you couldn't, you had like a 5-bedroom house and a 2-car garage with central air conditioning, and you couldn't manage. And they'll show us like what they learned, what they went through to be Jews. I want to show you what I went through to be a Jew. And I raised Yiddish adairs, and you, and they were going to say, yeah, but it was harder for us. It was harder because you didn't have the nesiyans. We have what to say. Because they didn't have, like, you know, in Lodz or, you know, in Varsha. Well, Varsha, they already had a lot of stuff going on, really. But they didn't have in the Shtetlach. Didn't have in the shtetl of the kind of things that we have to contend with. So we have what to say, but it's chaval to have to say. The Rebbeinu Shlomo wants that we should be able to greet Mashiach Zakenu with all of our children together, all of ourselves together, not dispersed in a million places. We're gonna Mitzvah Shem continue next time.